And it was on that Christmas morning in the small town of Bethlehem where Jesus was born in a manger. When the Savior of the world came for you and for me. And I want to read a little bit more about this event so we can recapture what happened on that day in Luke 2, 1 through 14. Says this, in the days Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." Amen. Christ Jesus came as that gift. He is the gift given to humanity. All of heaven was rejoicing on that day because what was fulfilled happened. Over 700 years of waiting happened in that moment. All of it was aligned according to God's will that Jesus the Messiah would come into earth. And it's not that humanity deserved it or even that they even necessarily knew it, but that this gift would surpass anything that we could ever do or give someone else. And so to go with this theme of Jesus being this incredible gift, let's look at what does a gift mean to us? And think back on some of the gifts that you have received. And ask yourself, what makes a great gift? Some of you may have to think back further, like, when was the last time I got a great gift? And then you hit the person next to you because tomorrow... Right? But what makes a gift great? And I put a little list down here. And for one, sometimes what makes a gift great is the value that's associated with it. Many times if it's costly or it has a high value, you're required to take extra care of it. If it's precious and special, especially fragile or breakable, you wouldn't want to destroy it, especially after a week after having it, because then you might be sleeping on the couch for more than a month, if you know what I mean. But some of you can remember gifts from years back because of how special that gift was itself. And Christ is the ultimate gift because of who He is. There's no value that you can place on Christ. He is priceless. You can't be bargained for. There's no better deal than who He is. And think about the value that you have in Christ Jesus. A loving God who wants to redeem us back into a right relationship with Him. And as those who have accepted Christ, we are now part of His family as sons and daughters. We're not on the outskirts any longer. We're in the family of God. Or maybe a faithful God who keeps His promises and says that He will never leave us. Regardless of what we're going through or what we've done, we can come before Him knowing that He is faithful to the promises that He has to us. A holy God who is willing to come down as us and have a standard of perfection that no man could ever hit themselves, but He did. And He took on our sins. A gracious God, knowing that we cannot work for our own salvation, but that we receive it solely because of His goodness, His love, His kindness, His mercy. The list goes on and on and on and on. as the value associated with who Christ is. As mentioned about Him, hundreds of years beforehand, Isaiah 9:6, He says this, prophesying that He would come. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Another reason of what makes gifts a great gift is if it's usually tailored just for you. There was some personalization to it. I think back of a time where, I believe it was an anniversary, and Valerie and I were just dating. And I still have this gift because she put together a collage of all the different pictures that we had at that time of different dates and put that together. And so now it's still on display in our house now. That wouldn't have any value with anyone else, but to me, it's up there. It was personalized. It meant something. That the gift giver knows the person well enough to give a gift that suits them perfectly. And it's the same with Christ, isn't it? He's the ultimate gift because of what He's done for you. He doesn't just know you by name, but He knows every hair on your head, every dream that you have, even those personality quirks that maybe you like or not, but it makes you you. He knows. And Jesus has done things personally that would be different from the person next to you, because you have your own interests, passions, spiritual gifts, talents, and personality. And He knows and has created and loves you. Think about the specifics of your life when Christ met you. What has He done? For some, it might be you were in a season of doubt of your life, not sure what to do, where to go, needing guidance, and Jesus gave you the solutions that you were looking for. For others, you needed to be set free. You needed to be healed. You needed a miracle. Jesus made a way for your breakthrough. And others, perhaps you needed a word of encouragement when you were down. You needed hope when you were desperate. Support. Jesus sat with you and gave you His peace. I mean, He surely is a gift, isn't He? He is. Bless you. And a gift is only a gift if it's freely given. Just imagine if Christ was forced to come down. The Trinity drew straws and Jesus got the short end. And I got to go down and save humanity. It wouldn't have the same effect, wouldn't it? It wouldn't mean the same. He wasn't coerced to die for us. And He didn't just say, "Well, I'm going to do it. No, I changed my mind now." Or put up stipulations. No. It wasn't an obligation or a duty. As it says in Ephesians 2:8-9, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves." And listen to this. "It is a gift of God, not by works, so no man or woman can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Therefore, Christ came for us, and we get to have life, eternal life, by faith. We do not earn it, deserve it, or accomplish this gift in any way, shape, or form. But by His love, since He first loved us, He came to save us and give us life." But there's more, because a gift is only good if we receive it. We have to be willing to receive it, because they can wrap up the gift and make it look nice, but if we're not willing to receive it, what does that mean? And what I love about children is their authenticity when it comes to gifts. They haven't learned the art of acting like they like the gift that was given to them yet. Okay? That's an adult thing you acquire. Children still have their innocence. They either love it or they don't. And if you've ever seen the movie A Christmas Story, we feel bad for little Ralphie. What did he receive as a gift? A pink bunny pajamas that was given by his Aunt Clara. This was clearly not a gift that he wanted to receive. You could see the disappointment, the humiliation in his eyes as he was forced to come down the stairs and show his family what his precious auntie gave to him. But remember, a gift is only treasured if we receive it. Although we can know Christ came for us, there are many who do not recognize Him as the gift of the world. Some view Christ as this divisive, polarizing figure. Others view Him as just one of many ways of salvation. And still others see Him as just a historic figure or a good teacher. But as I love what Jesus asked His disciples when He said, "Who do you say that I am?" And good old Peter, sometimes he's right on, sometimes he's way off. This time he's right. Just says it. "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And as His disciples, we receive Him as the Son of God, the Messiah. And so how do we respond to the gift of Christ that we have received? Because how we respond and treat the gift given to us determines how much it means to us, doesn't it? Because as we see with children, and maybe even some with us, they might receive a gift. And this might happen tomorrow, so fair warning. They might receive a gift, play with it once, and then never use it again. They're off playing in a cardboard box somewhere in the other room. Or perhaps we received a gift and then we think, I can reuse this one at my party next week, the white elephant gift. So we don't use the gift as it was intended to. We're thinking of a way just to reuse it. But just like only receiving a gift and not really using it, it's the same way with Christ as our gift. We cannot only say a prayer of salvation and then just simply move on with our lives. It's more than just a prayer before the food. To receive Christ as a gift is to have Him always in our hearts to instruct us, to guide us, to teach us in our daily lives. To spend time with Him, just you and Him, to make a way. He's wanting that for each and every one of you. To say, spend time with me. Treasure this gift of who I am and what I have to give to you. Because I have so much more for you than what you recognize. And we do recognize that there's a way to respond to Jesus as He is the gift intending for you to use. And that gift of Christ is not just an event on a calendar as tomorrow, but it's a lifestyle. And so we respond in different ways. We respond in gratitude, saying something to the effect of, "I know I don't deserve you, Jesus. All I have is yours. There's nothing that I can earn because even the work of my hands, you've blessed me to be able to work with my hands and all my talents, gifts, personal accomplishments, blessings, my personality, everything comes from you. I am grateful for who you are and what you've done for me. Even when my circumstances seem bleak, I can still find reasons to thank you, God." And so we operate and walk in humility, which overflows out of gratitude. But we respond to this gift of Christ also in growth. I choose to grow beyond what I've learned as a child. The Sunday school stories, that's just a foundation, but I want to grow. And we can commit ourselves to so many different ways to grow, whether it's meeting in a group with someone, prayer times, coming on Sundays, desiring to speak and listen to our God and in prayer, to encourage others to be around you and to encourage them back and them encourage you, to keep you truly centered on what matters, because there's plenty of distractions, aren't there? Isn't there? It's hard. But 2 Peter 3:18 says, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." But lastly, we respond in giving. Why? Well, as Paul says, he says, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." That we are to follow Christ. And if He gave Himself up for us, we should also give what we can to others. Amen? He has given us the Holy Spirit to pour into people's lives, to see others respond to the gospel by accepting Him, to pray for the sick to get healed, to encourage those who have backslidden, who are feeling downcasted, to give our material possessions to those in need, to use our spiritual gifts and talents to build up the church, and to give our time for those who need a friend. And we give in all kinds of ways because He gave. God has equipped us to be the best gift givers ever. It doesn't matter if gift giving is not part of your love languages. I'm not there. I know. But I have things to give if it's not a physical gift. And you do too. Matthew 7:11 says, "How much more will the Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him?" So if we're not sure, we can ask Him for more or how to use it. Because He wants you to have those gifts, since James 1:17 says, "All good gifts come from above." It brings our God the Father the greatest joy when we are giving to others in whatever way, shape, or form that God has created us to, because He's a creative God. He's gifted us in all kinds of different ways. And perhaps you have heard the phrase, "the gift that keeps on giving." I think it was in a commercial one time about one of their products. But that's not correct. There's only one gift that keeps on giving. And that is Christ. That is who Jesus is for the world. And the way that He keeps on giving, or being the gift that keeps on giving, that's through you. Did you know that? That's through you. By you representing the gift giver and treasuring the gift that Christ has given you, others can see who He is in you and who you serve, so they get to receive that gift as well. Christ Jesus is the true definition of the gift that keeps on giving. He is the greatest gift, the ultimate gift that we could ever receive in our lifetime. Amen? Amen. And so as just celebrating and commemorating Christ as being this greatest gift of who He is and what He's done for us, we're going to begin our candlelight service. If we could have the ushers just turn off the lights and team in the back. Because this is a real special moment. As we will see when the darkness comes, how dark it truly is. And not just in here, but spiritually. That darkness is a representation of the state of our souls. As it says in Matthew 4:16, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. And we see that the darkness has overcome us in this moment. And that in this gift of this present, I have the Christ candle that I'm going to put here and light. Because as it says that the world has seen, that in, they were in darkness and they've seen a great light. This wasn't just historically 2,000 years ago. This was every single one of us that hasn't had a relationship with Christ yet. That we were in darkness. This doesn't just mean utter rebellion. This also just means pride, not willing to accept Christ Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And so He came into the world and He said this in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will never fall into darkness." Never. And why is that? Because remember, He's that gift that keeps on giving. So He has told us, as followers of Him, followers of the light, that we can have the light of Christ. And so in this time, we see how just a small candle can light up a room. How much more so when we're all lit together. Because the world is a dark place, isn't it? And they need the light of Christ. And that resides in us. So in this time, we're going to light the candle and I'm going to light a few of the candles here and then light to the person next to you as well. Because we are the light of the world. We're supposed to be a light on a hill, so no one can, it shouldn't be hidden, but for all to see. So in the same way, light your light and let it be seen before all men and women. And after you've lit your candle, let's just reflect on who Christ is for you and what He's done. And as you can see, how much lighter is it in this room? Because by ourselves, one small candle does light a room. But how much more is it when we're lit together? When we all have our candles light together in unity. This is the body of Christ. Coming together, being a light in the world. Knowing that there's so much more darkness, but they need the light. And so I encourage you in this time, be the light. Christ has given you the most precious gift of all, Himself. Let's be who He is for us. Amen. And at this time, we're going to sing. Jason.
Holy night.
We're going to sing Silent Night, and it's the lyrics are actually on the back of the bulletin, so you can see.
go ahead and sing joy to the world because Jesus is here. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let men, let souls employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plain, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrow grow, the thrones infest the ground. He comes to make His blessings flow, for as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found.
Let's all stand and sing the last verse one more time.
Sins and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground. His comes to make His blessing flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found.
And you are the light of the world. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So may you have a blessed, rich Christmas. As you know, Jesus is the true reason for the season and the greatest gift of all. Amen. Amen. Be blessed.